Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad on Religion Means Alive for Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's guest is going to be Hez Green, who is a comedian that is local to the Philadelphia area. Hez, if that's you, press 1 and I can put you through. You know, first couple little housekeeping things that I want to, you know, go over. You know, if you have an event or you have some special promotion that you want to talk about or discuss on the show, know that we are here to promote that for you. I can have you on the show as a guest. To do that, all you have to do is reach out to me, and I'll give you my contact information, which is 610-836-2120. You can reach me via email, which is at gmail.com, and I'll be able to, you know, respond back to you as soon as possible. To get things started, because, you know, we try to promote a lot of things that are positive here in and around the city of Philadelphia. And, again, you don't have to live in Philadelphia for us to promote it on your show. Wherever you are, we can do that. And it's not a problem for us to promote on the show. There are a couple of events and different things that are going on in the city of Philadelphia since, you know, the weather's starting to get getting warm and stuff like that. You know, we'll have a lot more outdoor events, and we'll be able to keep things in heavy rotation as far as promotion. There is a lot of activity. I'm talking about good stuff that's going on in Philly. Like, we have a couple movies that's coming out from people doing first-time events, you know, movie productions, directing. Got a couple people from Philly, you know, doing that. So I definitely want to promote that type of thing on the show because that's why we're here. You know, you get, it's low coverage or whatever like that, but we still want to make sure that we get you out there. And we never know who is listening in on the show. So, you know, this could be your lucky break. You know, somebody could contact me and I can get your information over to them. So, you know, I just want to, you know, show the support, show the love out there for everybody, and get that working. You know, keep that focus. You know, I'm the host on the show Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There are other hosts that do various shows on the Religion Means a Live format. We are looking to have people promote their own show under our format. We are an established format since 2011, and we have thousands of listeners. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, you got to call into the show and things like that. So how many people could possibly call in? Well, calling in is not the only way that you can listen to the show. You can stream live while we're on the air. We also offer the archive feature, which will allow you to go back and listen to any of our past shows. And, you know, we could put you through. You know, that's how we do here. That's how we do here. I see that our guest is here, so I'm going to go ahead and put him through, and we're going to get started with the interview tonight. Hey, Hez, how are you?
Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, what's going on with you? You know, I haven't seen you in a minute. You know, last time I was out at your show, that's the last time. Well, that was the first time I got to meet you and as well, you know, enjoy, you know, what you do and put a laugh on people's face, make people smile. You turn that frown upside down. So, you know, that's definitely a plus. So I wanted to interview you because, you know, like I'm trying to do something different here on the format. A lot of times we do talk about religion, but, you know, that's not the basis of the platform. is just the title format of the show. And I like to do things, especially with people who are doing positive things in the city of Philadelphia, in and around the city of Philadelphia. I think it's important that people, you know, see us in a positive light, because I tell people the Blog Talk Radio format is not just, okay, people dialing in, people listening to the show. People from all over the world listen to this because they can, because it's archived. And that's how I get a lot of my promotion, especially because I'm in various groups that, you know, have members throughout the world. They listen to this. And, you know, so often we see that Philadelphia and the surrounding counties are put and cast in a bad light. So what I want to do is bring the positivity. And especially for us being African-American, I think that's also something positive. And, you know, especially you being an African-American, no, that's even, you know, that's plus, plus, plus. You know what I mean? Because we don't get the positivity. All they want to do is cast us in a negative light. So, you know, I want to show people we are real. We do have real jobs.
Right. We're all walking about. That's right.
Right. You know, it's not just, you know, oh, he committed a crime and stuff like that, because that's what people want to hear. And, you know, I don't do that on the show. I try to keep it positive. I try to keep it upbeat and empowering, because that's something that we need to do in this day and age. We hear so much negative stuff that nobody talks about positivity. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I, you know, reached out to you to be interview on the show. So just to get started, I want you to tell people a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you came to be, you know, what you are today.
Okay. Well, I'm actually, you know what's so funny, Kwa? I'm actually doing a radio show now myself. And it's WBNCTuneIn.com. And like you just said, you touched on a very important subject, and that's being an inspirational tool for people to listen to, and doing something that's encouraging to people and something that's inspiring to people, because you never know what someone's going through. And with feedback that I've been getting from the radio show, because I've been on there for about a month and a half now, is that they're just cleaning up the house, they're listening to us, and, you know, we're making people's day, and you want to keep that going. So I definitely appreciate you having me, because I now I'm considering you having you on my show as well. So, you know, we definitely want to be on that front line. Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to talk about that too. We need more of that, because we have all the other sister and brother stations, 107.9 and stuff like that. We got Ed Lover and Moni Love and all of them. And they talk about certain subjects, but I think being as though we're more hands-on with our city and we're closer to our city, we can kind of reach the masses as far as Philadelphia and the other tri-state areas. So I think it's important that we, you know, stay on that front line and just continue to encourage and inspire a lot of people, because we never know what somebody's going through. And, you know, that's why I do what I do. I love what I do, you know, and that's making people laugh, you know.
And you're good at it. And you're good at it. You're definitely good at it.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, there ain't nothing but God, man, you know. And I want to continue that. You know, I can be 67 and still do comedy, make people laugh. As long as I'm hearing or getting the feedback that I'm, you know, I made their day, or they were going through something, or they were going through something suicidal, and I just changed their mind from that, that's a blessing.
Right, absolutely. So how did you get started with, you know, doing comedy and things like that? Tell us a little bit about yourself, like your background, where you grew up, what part of the city you're from, things like that. Yeah, I know the listeners want to listen, you know.
Well,
this show is archived, so everybody can go back and listen to it for future reference if they want to.
I actually started doing choreography and dancing. I did some stuff with Boyz II Men, Music Soul Child. You can actually go on YouTube, and I did a couple of episodes of Apollo with Eve when she first came out with Rough Riders. So I actually started off with hip hop dance, and then a little bit of acting with plays, and then when I started seeing the money come through with the comedy, I was like, oh, I could do this. You know,
right,
changes things. And you take it more business like, and you know, you take it more serious. And like I said, I think the bigger blessing is when people come up to you and they, whatever they're going through, they forget about it at that time because you made an impact on their life. You know, and I think that's, to me, you know, besides getting the money, you know, God is always going to provide. But I think just making people smile and laugh and making them feel good about themselves, I think that's the bigger blessing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because once you keep God first in anything that you do, you can't fail. You just can't fail,
absolutely.
Especially if it's going to be something that's empowering and uplifting and encouraging to, you know, people. That's the bigger blessing into it. And, you know, that's, you know, what we want to do. We want to make sure we give back to people who are definitely less fortunate than us, and, you know, promote positivity. Because I tell people, you know, the more money you have, the more problems you are. And, you know, being Muslim, we're required to give more. The more you have, the more you're supposed to give to help the less fortunate. And, you know, that's key. So that's definitely a plus in my book. You get a check mark. You get two check marks. You good for that.
I appreciate that. well, one thing's for sure, I believe God makes no mistakes. You know what I mean? It's not coincidence that I ran into you as well. And let's set aside religion. Let's just talk about people. I mean, we're both on the front line, and we're both doing the same thing. Why can't we collaborate and do something together to encourage and inspire the masses? You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy that I got in touch with you because I'm planning a block party this summer to, you know, like a launch for the radio show, but not just that.
Okay.
But just to, you know, have an uplifting. I'm going to have Neo Soul. I'm going to have some clean comics. I'm going to have everything. So I definitely want to sit down with you. I'm going to probably come up with some ideas with me and my team and do some stuff. You know what I mean? Since we're on the same page, let's go ahead and make some stuff happen.
Absolutely, and I'm always up for that. You know, just dedicating, I tell people, it's not about a paycheck. It's not about getting recognition. It's about just giving back to the community and promoting positivity. That's what, you know, that's what is on my agenda. I always try to keep that first
Absolutely.
And foremost. I tell anybody, if you need me to come out to an event, if you like cleaning up something, you painting something, you know, I always keep my door open for those types of, you know, opportunities because they give back. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to be in the spotlight or anything like that. I'm just trying to give my time and energy because all the time people have money to give, but you can give your time and your energy, and sometimes that outweighs, you know, the materialistic or the monetary.
Yeah.
You can donate. You know what I mean? So
that's the greatest. I think that's the greatest feeling when you, like I said, the money is always going to come, but it's an even greater feeling when you're helping someone and they come up to you and say, "Oh my God, I was just listening to your show, and I was just about to hit my son's father with a frying pan, but I said no, I'm gonna listen to the rest of this episode." You know what I mean?
right.
Yeah, so we just prevented a murder or, you know, or something really bad happening, and made them forget all about it. She might have bashed them in the head the next day, but at that moment, you know, we might have helped them out.
She gave them a couple of hours. She spared them
a couple of hours.
Yeah,
she gave them a pass for that night. But that's always a blessing, man. I definitely want to sit down with you, too, and actually have you come on the show and work on some stuff. So that's definitely in the upcoming events.
Absolutely. So, you know, tell us a little bit about what's going on. You got anything in the works and the plans? What can we put on our schedules?
Man, God is doing some things. God is definitely doing some things. I have to, like I said, I just got the radio show with WBNC, radio station. And that's really evolving into a movement.
Okay.
And I still got my comedy shows coming. I have a real big show with Coco Brown, May 6th at Bally's. So, you know, I'll make a move with that. I also have something coming up at Parkside Avenue, March the 20th, with Craig McLaurin, a.k.a. Sonny Black, who's another one of my co-hosts, and Dark Child, who's a sister of comedy. So I'm just staying busy. And I also have a children's book that's coming out soon. So I'm just trying to stay busy.
All right, well, yeah, because, you know, I mean, I like to hear things like that. You know, it's like I said, it's always good to hear positive African-American men doing things that are positive because we hear so much in the news.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like bleak. You turn on the TV, like, oh, they done killed another one. Like, you know what I mean? So when I hear or when I see, because that's something that I try to keep in the forefront of everything that I do is to look for people who are promoting positivity and awareness and trying to educate and uplift and empower African-Americans. And not so much just African-Americans. I think that the focus should really be on African-American boys because that is the key group of people who need the most uplifting love and nurturing because, you know,
yes.
Like I did a show and, you know, they say if black boys don't read on a third grade level, they already got a prison cell ready for them, you know, before
they turn 18
or after they turn 18. And that's some scary stuff because my daughter just had a baby and he's a boy. Like he's going to grow up in this society. And I'm like, you know, whatever I can do to prevent him from getting caught up in this world with this stuff that's going on out here, you know, I want to protect him as much as I can. And, you know, when I hear people doing things like what you're doing, I think that's, you know, very inspirational and it's very encouraging that, you know, nobody has given up on us yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? People
no,
still
absolutely
got
not.
That we're going to do what we got to do.
When I got into this entertainment thing, you know, of course, you know, I was about the girls and all that stuff back then. But you know, I'm 43 now, going on 44. So my thing is, how am I going to leave my legacy? And that's and I had to really think about that, you know. And that's where I'm at now. I'm trying to build a legacy, whereas though I'm leaving some footprints on people's hearts and encouraging them to be better than what they are, you know what I mean? Especially my sons.
Right.
One of my sons, he's singing now, and another one of my sons, he's a DJ now. So I'm just passing the torch with them, you know? And that's how we all have to be, you know? We got to make sure, even our daughters, I have daughters too.
Right.
So it's like we gotta be role models, and even though some people don't want to, or I wouldn't even call it role models, but just an example of how God can use you in a positive way, you know. And that's you keep saying, that's the key word, positivity, because so many people stereotype us. They want to be like us, but they they don't want to have our traits. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to have our black skin. You know.
You want to write radio station for that, because we don't hold no tongues over here. So you can speak how you want to speak, trust and believe. When the owner of this, you know, this section listens, because he listens to my shows, he'll reach out to me like, "Wow, good job. Who was that? Who was that?" And I'll tell him about you. So you know, we all about it's what I want people to listen to, and this is, you know, this is nothing against people who are not African-American, but people don't understand that us being African-American, you can sympathize with us, with us, but you will never know what it's like to be an African-American. You just won't know.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Something that resonates in our soul, and, you know, you could be there 100% supporting us.
Absolutely
you could be
not.
At all the rallies. You could do everything. You know, if somebody, you see somebody doing something negative to us, you can do all that, but you won't know
what it's like. I think half these white people out here cut their damn wrists if they was black for 2 days.
Well, you know
see
what?
See, and
this
it's great.
I'm going to tell you this quick story real quick, and then I'll let you go back. There was a post out there. It was a Jewish rabbi. He had said to an audience of people, because he was talking about stereotyping, how people won't understand the Jewish struggle, the true Jewish struggle. We ain't talking about Zionists and stuff like that. the true Jewish struggle and the African-American struggle. He said, you won't understand it. So what he said was he named all of the bad things that black people get stereotyped with, and he said to the audience, if you would like to be African-American, stand up. Not one person stood up. That goes to show you, you know what our struggle is, but like you said, you wouldn't dare want to be us. You want to have all the perks of what it is to be African-American. You want to dress the part. You want to look the part. But you do not want that true skin tone where you know you would be labeled as an African-American. You don't want that. And you know,
and it's sad because we as black people, we don't African-Americans, we don't understand how strong we really are. For instance, in a financial situation, a white person, a rich white person, they would lose their mind. They would probably kill themselves and their family. Black people, what we do? We'll throw a fish fry. We'll sell some cupcakes. We might even get illegal and sell some weed. Yeah, we might get illegal and sell some weed. But we ain't killing ourselves. We ain't that crazy. But that just shows how strong we are mentally. But just imagine if a lot of African Americans would use their mind instead of depending on, you know, white people or put that all that stress into your own business. Man, it would be a lot of rich and wealthy people. Like it says in the good books, we're not meant to be struggling. We're meant to be kings and queens.
Right.
But if we don't read and utilize what we have, all these resources, we're gonna be stuck. And what do they do? They keep us in that slave mentality, and that's why a lot of people aren't where they're supposed to be, because they're like, all right, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this 9-to-5. You was meant to be bigger than that. You actually was meant to be your own boss. But if you don't take the time out to work hard and be diligent about your craft or your gift, you won't be stuck. You're going to continue working at 9-to-5.
Right, because, you know, I tell people, like, you know, having heritage and family from the Caribbean islands, you know, it's a whole different ball picture. Like, you know, I try to explain to people here that, you know, in the islands there is no Section 8, there's no welfare, there's none of that. So these people have to learn how to do various jobs. So like I said, you know, for people who in my era, you know, our era, and Live in Color used to talk about the Jamaicans working 20 jobs and stuff like that. Like, that's real talk. Like, these people, doctors, they've been and stitch somebody up, and then next day they cooking in the kitchen, they fixing cars, and this is something that they have to do because at the end of the day, there's nobody they can turn to feed their family. So these people will do whatever they got to do to make ends meet. And, you know, like I tell, you know, a lot of people, I said, I look at some of these guys who, you know, since they gave the jails internet service now, yo, this stuff be crazy. I be watching these videos and stuff of these dudes in jail. And I just look at the stuff that y'all make and come up with. Like, you got to be brilliant to do stuff like that.
Exactly.
Like,
it's hereditary.
No, like,
We made up a lot of, African Americans made up a lot of gadgets and ideas and innovation, but we got no credit for it. It was either stolen from us or somebody put their name on it. Even with the, you know what's crazy? I did some research of my own, with the record labels, and I was finding out the situation with Otis Redding and Sam Cooke and James Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys were trying to organize their own record label and stuff. Otis Redding, I didn't realize how brilliant he was.
Right.
I was like, wow. And because people were in fear of him and what he was about to become, they had to knock him off. But that just showed that. But I'm just saying that to show how powerful and smart we are. But if we don't use our brains and you know, and work on our crafts and find out, do our research, we're going to be stuck. We're going to be working for them for the rest of our years. And that's not where I want to be. I don't want to be working for anybody the rest of my years.
I tell people now, I've been at my legal job for 23 years. And, you know, people be like, well, wait a minute, you're not that old. And I was like, no, but, you know, I stayed there and I moved up because, you know, I went to college. I got three degrees, but in different things that could not help me in the field that I am in. So, you know, eventually I went back to school to go get the degree in the field of banking and finance. But I was like, you know, I'm a person of many hats because, you know, I tell people,
right.
Did you ever think that you could see a black girl make hummus better than some Mediterranean people? Like, you know, they'd be like, how did you do that? And I'm like,
right.
You know, it's, like you said, it's in us. It's inherently in us
yeah.
to be creative. It's in
absolutely.
Us to, you know, explore and reach out and do things that people, I'm the type of person, if you tell me I can't, that means I can't. That's how I always do things. Like, okay, I'm gonna take that.
African Americans are the top influential people in the world. We are all over the place. Our swag, or how we dress, you know, all of
right.
everything. You know what's crazy? Like I said, I'm starting to do a lot of research and stuff. A lot of
right.
The martial artists and all that stuff. We were innovators of a lot of that stuff, and that's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy. But if we don't patent our stuff and take advantage and try to teach our young and all that stuff, we're going to be stuck. We're going to be assed out. I ain't going to.
Right. Right about
we
got
to start. Like you say, our men have to step up. And actually, both, men and women, we both have to step up
right.
and stop settling for less just because of what somebody give us. You know, like I hear people talking about what they're going to do with their income taxes, and the first thing they do is say they're going shopping. They ain't not
right?
invest in an IRA, not invest in a trust fund, but they going shopping.
Right.
So you going that all that money that you work for, you gonna give it right back to the man. Instead
right.
of investing
people,
in yourself or your children, you know, you're gonna give it right back
right,
out.
Right. And you know what I say? Dang, I wish I could ball out like yo, I don't even get an income tax. I'd be glad I don't even owe the government no money by the time I get finished with them. I'm like, look, my kid, I got one minor. I ain't got nobody to claim, no expenses, no nothing. I said, oh, yeah.
Right.
It's going to be bad for me. So I was like, look, y'all ball out for me because I don't even have it like that. I wish I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're right. You got to be touching on some things. You know, like we don't invest. We don't invest like
yeah.
I do my show and my other show that I do. I'm an affiliate for Carrot Boris International. And I tell people, like, African-American people are one of the people who don't invest, don't save, don't plan for retirement. Mm. We don't do none of that.
Nope.
You know, and
nope.
we definitely got to get out of that mentality because
what?
If you think that Uncle Sam is going to be here to take care of you, it's
what?
Not going down. Like, it's not going
down. They're trying to take that away from us. They're trying to take Social Security
absolutely.
Away. If they
absolutely.
Ain't already
and
do it.
Look. I can't retire too. I'm 73 and a half.
Yeah, you're
and
73 still working at Walmart. You at the front of Walmart talking, welcome to Walmart, welcome to Walmart. You're back in the come on. No,
look.
Wake up, man. Wake up. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
75 years old, a security guard, looking like Otis. No, you got to invest in yourself. When I'm 65,
right,
I'm
right.
going to be chilling. Me and my wife going to be chilling. I'm laying
right,
back.
Right.
With my feet in the
right.
sand.
I know that's right. Look, I'm trying to.
But Kwai, we definitely want to get together and do some things because this is, since we're on the front line, we have to kind of stick together on some things because we're
right.
mouthpieces for the people that can't speak up for themselves. You know, and
right.
we got to help
right.
the ones that are less fortunate and don't know where to turn to, don't have no belief, no
right.
faith. No nothing.
Right.
So we definitely have to inspire and encourage people. And there's so many people
right.
out here that need that.
Yeah, because, you know, like, it's just, like, I really, like, my goal for this year is to focus on African-American boys. Like, that's something I want to reach out. And I got a couple of things lined up. You know, work
mm-hmm.
directly hand in hand with different agencies and stuff like that, like Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
Right.
And, you know, I used to do, like, the mentorship and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reaching out to all my old contacts to, you know, get involved more in a more candid way with them, because it's just,
it
hurts me to see, you know, people put, like, you know, I'm sure you've seen that meme out there, like, we can't get black people to get up and vote and none of that, but they up here in line for the Jordans. Like, I mean, these
right,
people
yeah,
lined
yeah,
up for the
that's
Jordans.
Crazy.
And I'm just like, you know, y'all need to get up and become aware, because, like, if, what's his name, Donald Trump get in the office, like, I'm going to
get
out of here.
He going to wear everybody wearing toupees. Donald Trump wearing everybody wearing toupees and makeup.
We going
blind wigs. We in a whole heap of trouble if he get in there.
I'm like,
everything going to be reality TV. We going to be jacked up.
No, we going to have a wall. We going to be building the wall to keep the Mexicans out. Like, I mean, you know, it's just, crazy how
the
how
Mexicans ain't do nothing
anything
to me. Shout out to all my essays. I ain't got no problem with y'all.
Right? I don't have no problems with y'all. Look.
Them cats can build a sidewalk, boy. I ain't got no problems with them.
They cut grass, build the sidewalks.
What
they
cut grass?
I seen them build the house. I seen them build the house in a day. In a day,
what?
They built the house.
Man, and it'd be two of them, too. It'd be just two of them.
Two of them. Right.
One hit the nail,
right.
One stir the concrete.
Look,
them boys
it'd take
good,
a whole
man.
Village of us, but it'd be two, like you said, it'd be two of them. You're like, how they do that?
No, we take too many breaks. We take too many breaks. You give it, and that's, and you know what? That's sad. You, well, you want to support your black businesses, but they take too many breaks. They want half the money down. Come on, man. They want to borrow your phone, your tools. Hey, how you in business and you want to borrow my tools?
But you know what? And I always say this. I'm like, you know, it's a quote by Malcolm X. And this is something, you know, it was the anniversary of his death. And, you know, something that I read, a quote that he said, it said that when you go into a Jewish neighborhood, you don't never see African-American-owned stores. When you go into an Asian neighborhood, you don't never see Asian-owned stores. You go into you know, a Caucasian neighborhood, you don't see Caucasian-owned stores. But when you come to an African-American neighborhood, you see everybody else but our own people owning their own stores.
Yeah.
But like you said, we are our own downfall in that situation. You know what I mean? Like, because if it was like me coming to you, you got to give me the hookup. Where my discount at?
Yeah.
You would not ask an Asian person who won't even let you go for 2 cents. You won't ask them for a hookup, but you expect me to, you know, keep skimming off the top. And I got to feed my family just like you got to feed your family.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's just so much competition. Like, we don't want to support each other. When we see one person doing something, we don't want to support the person. And it's all about, that goes back to the slave mentality, like where you can't let nobody else get ahead of you because you think they're going to do better than you. But I try to tell people this. If I get where I need to go at, I can help uplift you to get where you
but
need
that's
to
that
get.
Mentality. That's that mentality.
Right. And
You don't see 7-Eleven and Wawa gang banging and, you know, warring against each other.
Right.
You don't see the Chinese people warring against each other. If one want to open a Chinese store, the other one open up a buffet, a hibachi buffet. They compromise.
Right.
They don't, you know, they I don't know. We just backwards,
they,
man.
And they getting all their supplies for the same people. Like, they don't even shop at no other places except their own store. So, I mean, people don't understand, like, what was it? Last week when out in Lancaster they had the tornado and it was a school or house or something that was destroyed. Like, the Amish people, that same day, within the middle of the night, they was already halfway built up, whatever came down. They was halfway done. Like, these are people who stick together in the community.
Yeah, just like the Latinos. Out Kensington, I tell it in my jokes. I had 9 poppy stores in 1 block radius, and everybody sold the same stuff. If one poppy store ran out of chips, they go to the other store, get the chips, and bring them back and sell them to you.
Yep. And I mean, it's just sad to see that such competition. And then we don't even want to support our people because, you know, it was like, okay, when I first started selling my hummus, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to just sell it to black people. We want, you know, this going to be popping or whatever like that. And, you know, then after a while it died down and things like that. And
I remember that.
You know,
I remember that, too.
Yeah, I'm still doing it, but it's on a wider scale. So I was like, well, let me go to the people who I know going to buy hummus on the regular. And I already know who the people is. And, you know, they the ones that's helping me sustain, you know, that little side business that I do because, you know, and I'll put it out there, Caucasian people support me. They'll put in orders. They'll ask me to cater parties. They'll do it. Like, I do it with no problem, no hesitation. It ain't about that I'm black or whatever like that. They just like, look, we like hummus, and you make good hummus.
Right.
So we want to support you, and we want to, you know, put your name out there. I got the most of my support and the most of my publicity from Caucasian people. And, you know, that's just what it is.
Tag that to me because my fiance loves hummus. I don't like it, but she loves it.
You ain't never had mine, that's why.
Some.
But I'm gonna hook you up though, because I make over 20
flavors.
I'm
cool. Give me some ketchup and some mustard, and I'm good.
Wait, I'm about to tell you though, because you know, like I couldn't just make hummus for black people and think that they was going to eat it. So you probably had the store brand and stuff like that. That stuff tastes like wet cement. That stuff is trash. Anybody will tell you, and I'm not like, you know, pat myself on the back, but anybody will tell you my hummus, hands down, is the best that they ever had. And, of course, me being innovative, as I said, you know, like you said, we innovative. We create stuff. I said, well, how am I going to get these black people to eat some hummus? Because I already know they don't even want to try nothing new. You know, we don't try nothing new. If it ain't the regular stuff, we ain't eating it.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I came up with key flavors.
Okay.
Seafood, and I put butter on it. Seafood and butter. Yeah, see. Mm. I make a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Hummus. See.
I'm dead serious.
I'm dead serious. Make cheesesteak. I do. Like, a lot of the guys I do, like, around football time and basketball season is starting to get, you know, March Madness and all that stuff. So a lot of the men, their top flavors are, they like the seafood. But the women, black women order the seafood combo more than the black men. But the black men love the steak, the cheese steak. They love the cheese steak. They love the pastrami. I do pastrami. They like pepperoni parmesan.
And that sounds good.
I do a sweet and sour duck. I do a chicken or beef teriyaki. You know, I do a lot of different flavors. So
I gotta get that. That sounds good. You got me licking my lips like
See, like the women, we like the more sweeter things. Like I do a sweet potato hummus. They like the seafood. Like I'll do crab, shrimp. I do artichoke.
Right.
Like it depends. It depends on the person's natural palate of what they like. And then you know, just encompassing, you know, the hummus gives it an extra boost. And I tell people, you know, for health reasons, instead of using mayonnaise, you can use, you know, the hummus as a spread. You can make a sandwich. Hummus can be eaten cold or hot. So, you know, you could put
on crackers or whatever like that.
Right.
My lady stay eating that stuff. She's a hummus queen. She, especially if you got different flavors like that, I know she'll definitely get your place. So that ain't, oh, my God.
And that's what's up because, you know, I'm always trying to reach out to new people. you know, just to tell them, like, I do sampling parties, I do all kind, you know, demonstrations to get people, you know, into something that's not only different but, you know, healthy for you. You know, like, we eat too much crap,
we
don't be concerned about our health. And, you know, like, we have high blood pressure, we got clogged arteries, we got diabetes, and, you know, these things that I created, they're a little unhealthy, but they're also good for you. Like I tell people, I never use margarine because margarine ain't nothing but melted plastic. I tell people that. It's plastic. Margarine is plastic. You using butter?
Yeah.
You know,
I can't
it's not good for you, but it's better. It's definitely better than plastic.
Yeah. Because I know we couldn't afford butter. We damn sure had the margarine on hand. Especially in them grits, boy. You couldn't tell a difference.
You know what? I do not play. My kids are like, Mom, can you get... No, we only eat butter. They talk about, well, why can't come in a big tube like that? I said, because it's real. I said, that's real stuff right there. I said, won't no flies go land on no margarine. But they will land with some butter.
We couldn't afford neither one. So my mom used to go to the church and get the big box butter. Remember the big block of butter?
Oh, yes. And you know what? I tell people, that with the cheese, with the welfare cheese, best grilled cheese in the whole entire world.
What? You could bake y'all need to ask my grandma that, boy. She can make some baked macaroni and cheese out of that box cheese. And them cakes, some pound cakes with that butter.
Yeah.
Boy, she was the bomb diggy.
You can't get that like that no more. I'm like, now they selling the cheese slices. You put that stuff in the microwave and don't even melt. I said, what kind of stuff is that?
It's like a daggone sheet of paper. You could take notes off the daggone paper now. I mean, off that cheese now. Notebook paper, you could throw it on a wall.
Stuff.
Make spitballs with it. You can do all types of stuff with that cheese now. I don't mess with it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I leave all that stuff alone. But, that's what we try to do. Like, you know, it's just all about giving back. It's all about promoting positivity, empowerment, self-education, and just learning who you are as a person. Once I think that you can understand that you're not a statistic or you're not a label of something that, you know, people want to put on you or downgrade you to be, I think that's where, you know, we can better ourselves. But, you know, like I tell people, and I say this on all my calls when I start talking about, you know, how we can better people, it all starts with your foundation. And your foundation starts with your home. You have to start with yourself and your home first before you can build anything up. Because if you try to build something on a shoddy foundation, it's going to crumble. It's going to fail. It's going to be weak. It's not going to be sturdy. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, I tell parents, be a vocal point in your children's lives. And not just, you know, taking care of them, feeding and clothing them, but going to these schools. Go into their school. Go and meet their teachers. You know, provide them with your information. Because I tell people now, the school board know who I am. When they say my name, they're like, oh, okay, we don't want no problems with her. Like, I don't have no problem. And I'm not dealing with the principals. I'm not dealing with y'all because y'all low-level people and y'all just going by a script. I'm going to the school board, and I'm going to talk to these people who my taxes pay your salary. That's who I'm going to go talk to. And, you know, I don't have time for that foolishness with these people in the schools and stuff like that. Like, I'm not addressing you. I go directly up to the school board. So the teachers already know if she got a complaint or a problem, we need to resolve that, like, ASAP. We need to resolve ASAP. You know, like, I don't play no games, and, you know, I don't live in Philly. I live outside of Philly, but, you know, where I live at one point in time, I tell people in Delaware County, just a little over, I mean, when I was a teenager, not even a teenager, a kid growing up, we couldn't come where I live at. We couldn't come out here. I mean, they literally chase us back like niggas, get out of here. You couldn't even shop up here after dark of 69th Street. You couldn't even come up here.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said,
Fishtown. They used to chase the Latinos and the blacks all the way back over the other side of Kensington.
Exactly.
Fishtown, Northeast. Man, look. Now,
well,
half, especially Kensington. Especially Kensington.
Yeah.
You know, Kensington have everybody high as ever now. They let us come over there freely now.
They don't even know what's going on. They don't even know what's going on over there. But
they had it so bad, they had me scratching. I ain't even on drugs.
You know what?
I'm like, what the hell? Why am I scratching?
I can't. You know what?
It was bad, man.
You did wrong for them. You know, but if people
K-Mart.
Don't know why you said scratching, look.
Kmart be selling used TVs.
Ooh, I can't go there. I can't.
I'm like, ooh,
you know
Kensington doing bad.
That's your environment. Y'all allow it. Like, I tell people,
Quiet.
You only can get what you allow.
Quiet, just sell your dogs and steal it back.
Look, you're like, ain't that my dog? Wait a minute, let me go look at my.
Yeah, you like, ain't that my dog right there?
Trust and believe they will.
Man, it's bad over there,
I'm about to get ready to do some housekeeping on this line. Before we close out with you, first and foremost, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight.
The pleasure is all mine. I definitely appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, just close out. I just want to hear, you know, whatever you want to say, close us out, and then I'm going to go do some housekeeping. You can stay on mute or on hold. That's up to you. But I just wanted to give you the floor right before we end the interview.
I just want to give a shout out to my family, of course, WBNC family, Carlos, the enforcer, Craig McLaurin, a.k.a. Sonny Black, Dark Child, Nate the Landlord, Flight, you know, my homies, Squeak, you know, and most importantly, God, you know, putting me on, you know. But I definitely appreciate you, Kwa.
Oh, you're welcome. As you know, like I said, I'm all about promoting positivity, people who are doing new and innovative things in here. And, you know, one of the key things, like I have been reaching out to, are African-American men who are doing different things, various things within the communities, because this is important. I want people to know that y'all not all locked up. Y'all not on drugs.
Yeah, we out here.
You know, in a bad, you're not all in a bad predicament and things like that. So, you know, as much
as I ain't built for jail, I'm telling you that now. You don't want to mess with me, player.
Go check him out. When's the next show? Tell them where you gonna be at so they can go see you.
Hey, my next show is at Parkside Avenue Banquet Hall, March 20th. I'll be there with Dark Child and Craig McLaurin. Make sure y'all come down there. If y'all hit me up on Facebook under Hez Green, HEZGREEN, and let them know that you heard me advertising on Quad's radio show, I'll hook y'all up and get y'all tickets half price.
Thank you, Hez. I appreciate it so much. And thank you again for taking time out your schedule to, you know, come on the show and just tell everybody what you're doing. Definitely, you know, God willing, I'll have you back on the show later on in the year, because I like to try to rotate my guests so people can continue to follow you and, you know, get information to find out what you're doing so that we can all take a part in it. And I'll definitely be in contact with you for,
Please keep in touch,
because we're going to
work on that. Yeah, we're going to work on some stuff, Kwai, so let's definitely keep in touch.
All right. Absolutely will. Thank you again
so much.
All right,
peace out, y'all. God bless everybody. Yes,
all right,
ma'am, you
good
too.
Night. So, you know, like, this is what I'm trying to do. It's so important for us to, you know, I know I say a lot of things on the show, and I know I get, you know, I say things and things like that, but people don't really understand what resonates in my heart about how I try to do things. And, you know, as Muslims, we don't show all our good deeds. We don't show our good deeds and put them out there for display for people to see us for that. So, you know, we lose the blessing if we do that. So a lot of things and a lot of the projects that I participate in and I volunteer my time with, you guys don't know nothing about that, and I'm going to keep it that way. I ask people, don't mention me. Don't tell what I did for you because, you know, I just want to keep that where it's at so I can continue to get the blessings for it. But I do a lot within the community, and, again, like I said, I try to focus on African-American boys because they are the key target for all this crap that's going on in our communities. In our society, people already have them doomed from when they come out the womb, you know, and this is something that we as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, we have to be the forefront to block them from getting those statistics and becoming those statistics. We definitely have to, you know, make sure we do our due diligence to keep them protected because without them, the race will become extinct. And I know people were like, oh, no, it's not about no hatred of other races and things like that. And it's not about, you know, being segregated and things like that. But when you see that there is a clear target on a certain people, we have that right to defend ourselves. And what we have to do by defending ourselves is educating ourselves. Because one thing that I was always told, you could take a man's money, you could take his material possessions, but you can never take his education. You can never take what he has in his brain that he can use against you, for you, or with you. That's totally up to you. And this is something that I stand firm on. You know, I have a grandson, and I will do everything in my power as long as God permits that he will not become a statistic out in this society. I will do everything that I can to protect him from becoming a statistic. And we should feel this way, not just about our own family or our people that we know. We should have this for everybody with, you know, who are male African-American men. We should have this plan for them, to protect them from the atrocities that these people want to implore upon them. This is our job and this is our duty, and it's not about a black or white thing. It's deeper than that. Like I said earlier in the call, you could be of another race and you could sympathize with African Americans. You can be there in the forefront. You can do everything that you possibly can to help us, and we appreciate that. But one thing that you will never understand or never truly feel is how we feel inside about being African American. It's just something you would not know. And that's the same thing with me. I would not know what it's like to be a Hispanic person because I'm not Hispanic. I don't know what trials and tribulations. I may be able to read it and understand it, but I would never truly be able to walk in your shoes because I am not you. And that is not my culture or my race, so I wouldn't be able to understand it. And it's a whole separate thing, a whole separate issue that African Americans go through. I see somebody else is waiting to speak. I'm going to put them through.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Good evening.
Hello,
good evening.
Hello,
yes, assalamu alaikum. Good evening.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hello. Yes, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, sister. Hi.
Okay.
This is Sister Hadia. I've been listening to your conversation for the duration of the call, and I too am trying to do a program. Well, I own a daycare, and most of my emphasis is trying to reach the young boys because their lives are at stake every minute. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I do agree with you on that. I really, really do, and I hear your passion. But I also have to say, in addition, is this. I went to see Dr. Patricia Newton recently and Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson at the Mist in Harlem Theater in Manhattan. And she came out with something that I've been very impressed with. I believe her. She's a psychiatrist. She's a neurologist and a medical doctor. She's saying that because of the traumatization we have in our genes from slavery, and we've never had a safe place to let that, to work through that traumatization, she's saying it is physically impossible for us to come together and get things done, because they keep us in a chaotic state. She said the chaotic state was finances, housing, and education. She said it does not allow us to have quiet time. She said in order to put away traumatization, we have to have quiet time for the body to heal. And because we have not, as a people, been allowed to calm down and not have to worry about housing, education, finances, we're in this condition. And sister, I'm going to say something. I want to know how we can overcome that. Because she's saying also, in addition, that the people that our ancestors were who got on that boat, when they brought us off, you know, took us from Africa and put us on that boat, she said our DNA molecular structure has changed, that we're so fearful now. We can't, because of the traumatization that's in the genes. I was just wondering if you could address that for me.
Sure, absolutely. And I get exactly what she's saying. She's speaking of what is called partially the Willie Lynch syndrome. And what Willie Lynch syndrome is, these were these bylaws that, you know, plantation owners came up with from this man called Willie Lynch. He said how to control a slave, how to break a slave, how to keep them in line and in charge. And with that, if anybody wants to read the Willie Lynch syndrome, you can just Google it and you can purchase the book. Right. You can Google it and get the book off of Amazon. It's not that. It's less than $20 for the book. And also the articles, you can just Google that name and you can find the listing of part of what the Willie Lynch syndrome means on Google. But what
He also mentioned something about, I know you know Professor Joy DeGruy, and Professor Joy DeGruy spoke about post-traumatic slavery syndrome. Well, Dr. Newton, Patricia Newton, said that it was her idea and her original writing. She said she called it post-traumatic slavery disorder. That's why she calls it traumatization. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, like I heard one of your earlier callers talking about how the Mexicans can build a house overnight, basically, and they're doing all those good things, and that's beautiful. May Allah bless them, because he put everybody on this planet. Nobody would be here without his permission. But my thing is, what do we do for us? We all got the gift of gab. We all are an intelligent people. That's how we are. and that's real, sis. How can we put this thing together?
And just to expound on that a little bit, what the Willie Lynch syndrome did was devise a plan to keep us divided. And the one way that they kept us divided is removing the black man from the home. That once you lose that, that is the structure, because of course when they went to Africa to go steal us, they knew how a lot of these African men would die to protect their home. So what do? You remove the strongest link from the chain. If you remove the strongest link, the other links aren't going to be able to be as stable. And what they did was basically they rewrote how to control us by removing the black man. Black man was only used as a means of hard labor. He was a hard labor. Or he was used as the stud. What they mean is, by the stud is, he was the only one that went around, and if he was a strong black man with muscles, he had strong teeth and, you know, muscle, and he never was sick and things like that, they would use him to impregnate all the other slaves because they knew that his genes would pass on to them. So that right there, you got the mothers who are raising, you know, their families without a father, without a father there, So the structure of the black family was destroyed. If you keep that destroyed, even after slavery, this is why, like, men who were husbands in, like, the 50s, 60s, and it ended with the 70s, they were strong then because that was the time of the civil rights movement. And a lot of, you know, the structure of the black home was intact. But then you got welfare came in. And you got the drugs that came in. Like you said, destroy what they need. Like, cause chaos. You got your grandmom, you got your dad, your mom, everybody's strung out on crack. Who's raising these kids? You're always going to have, like you said, you're not going to have that quiet place. Your house is always going to be in disarray. So if there's no structure, there's no foundation, nothing can grow up from that. It's always going to be stagnant. And, you know, people look at welfare as, you know, a cure-all for, you know, poverty and things like that. If there was no welfare, I tell people this all the time, people in the Caribbean islands don't have welfare. They don't have it. Other countries don't even have no welfare. So these people have to do what they have to do. And black people are smart. Like, you know, as you're saying, probably 85% of the inventions here, we found it. We created. But we didn't get credit from. So we're not a stupid people. We're not stupid, but we don't know how to use and realign that intelligence that we have and use it for positivity. We're so busy fighting each other, killing each other, trying to get up where you'll never be able to get up. You'll never be able to excel because you have to fix what's broken first before you can move on. And, you know, everything that you said, this is the reason why. We don't have it in us to put aside us hating on the next person. We don't have it in us. We don't want to do it. So we'll never be successful at what we do because this is something that, like she said, was broke from the time that you was created. From the time you was created and, you know, to the time you was born, your basic, if you let society tell it, your destiny has already been created for them because they say if little boys by the age of third grade aren't reading on third grade level, we got a prison cell here. This is what they do. This is what they do. So if parents don't step in and make sure that their little black boys are not part of that statistic, they're going to be a statistic. They're closing down these schools. Parents don't go to parent-teacher conference. They don't go to these meetings that the school board has about these schools. And then when the school closes down, it becomes a charter school. Then you have to go through a whole enrollment process for that. You even get into the school, and about time you do that, your child is going to a school where teachers don't even want to teach it. But whose fault is that? That's yours. But we aren't conditioned to know that these are the things that we need to do to make a difference. We keep thinking that the government and other agencies are going to come to our rescue. If they didn't come to our rescue when they brought us over here as slaves, then they're not going to help us. It's up to us to want to change that, and we don't want to change it. So until we feel as though we're fed up and we can't take it no more, then that is only then will things change. And so I leave it at that.
I leave it at that. It's sad, you know. It's really sad. And I pray to God that, you know, we will find a way because everything that's going down, all these people they have out here, Donald Trump and all this Hillary and all these folks, we all know that these people have their own hidden agenda. I just found out day before yesterday a black man by the name of Harry T. Sample is the one who made the wireless cellular phones that we use today, Harry T. Sample. And I'm saying, Lord, now look at this. This man is not getting any credit. We hear about Apple and all these other people, but any kind of credit to give to a brother or a sister, we don't get that. So maybe, like you said, you know, it's hard for us to do it, but I just happen to believe in, I don't want to be tooting my own horn or anything like that because I know better than that, but I also know that, you know, the Creator didn't put me on the earth at the time that he did not to be about doing something, and my job is to help my people get the freedom. So whatever it takes for me to do that, I'm going to do that, and I hope that that traumatization that's in my genes from my ancestors way back finds a way to get out, because it can't exist.
Right, absolutely.
It can't exist. The Creator did not put me on this planet to be at odds with myself or anybody that I know, my people or anybody. That's not the deal. That's not right. And we need to find a way to break that. And I'm sorry to say, but a lot of us are going to have to separate, and a lot may have to die for the purge. Some are not going to make it because they're not ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with everything you said, sister. I agree with everything you said. It has to start with us first. It definitely has to start with us first. And, you know, I'll continue to do shows on empowerment and upliftment and different things of that nature because, you know, like I said, this is something that resonates with inside me. And, you know, a lot of people get, you know, think that I'm anti-black. It's not that I'm anti-black because it ain't like I could pass for anything else or would I want to pass for anything else. I am what I am. And, you know, even if I could change what I was, I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. And I tell people that. I love being black. And there's certain things that, you know, you can't do when you're not black. You know, like stand out in the sun. You can't do that, you know, if you're not black. You know, it's a hard, long road that we have to journey. But until we can come to some kind of compromise and to want to say enough is enough of this, only then can we build. And we know that Allah's panel with the Allah says that he will not change the condition of a people till they want to change that condition themselves. So, you know, like, until we get fed up enough to really want to change, we're going to remain in the same condition. It's going to be the same thing. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. It's going to remain the same.
Okay, well, give you, ma'am, Alfred Muhammad, the greetings from me and Brother Thabit.
I will.
You know?
Okay.
We wish you well. Okay, assalamu alaikum, sisters.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much for joining.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, as I get ready to conclude the call, you know, I thank all the listeners for joining. I appreciate your support. Again, if you got a topic, event, something that's going on, let me know. I'm more than willing. I'm more than able to promote this on the show. And again, as I said in the past, it doesn't necessarily have to be within the Philadelphia region because people from all over the world listen to this show. And again, you may say, well, how does people all over the world? This is streaming via the internet. The internet is something very, very, very positive. And also very powerful. All these shows, when we record these shows, they go into an archive that you have access to listen to at your leisure. So a lot of people who are from different areas of the world go into that archive to listen to the show, which is great because the majority of my listeners come from them accessing the archive. Not enough people, you know, call in directly to the show, but more people go into the show's archives to listen to not only the current show that I'm, you know, promoting, but also past shows. So this is something, this is a great feature of the internet because when you do an interview on, you know, like a WDAS or a Power 99, those are local formats, radio formats here in Philadelphia, you can only listen to that interview for that particular time. You may be able to go back on that that radio show's webpage and maybe listen to an excerpt of it, but you won't hear it in its entirety. Or you know, may get bits and pieces, maybe the first 15 minutes. But here you're able to listen to the entire show, which is an awesome thing because not all the time people have time to listen. They can go on a lunch break when they're driving to work, things like that. They can listen to the show, and this is what makes it so powerful. And I thank people from all around the world who take the time to listen to the show. I appreciate you guys. I thank you all for your support. It just gives me more empowerment and courage to continue to do the show for you so that, you know, this is something that you can listen to and know that it's inspiration. You know, we don't tolerate too much crap over here, and we try to keep it as, you know, upbeat and friendly as possible on the show. We do get sometimes when stuff be, you know, tiptoe around stuff and stuff get a little touchy, but, you know, we try to keep it, we keep it under wraps for the most part on this segment. So if you want to get in contact with me, you got something that's going on, you got a project, something that's going on, and what I've been trying to do is reach out to African-American men who are doing something positive, empowering, and inspirational in their community. I will promote it on my show. I will interview you on the show. Reach out to me, get that information to me, and we can set up something and schedule it so, you know, people can hear it. They can hear it. A lot of times people talk about things, but they don't actually make them manifest. So, you know, putting y'all guys out there, don't be shy. I'm not going to snap on you. I'm not going to bite your head off. I just want to hear what you're doing, what you're promoting, and how it can be a benefit to us all, inshallah. So if you want to get in contact with me directly, my number is 610-836-2120. That's my cell phone number. You can leave a text message or voicemail. You can reach me via email at qamrma@gmail.com. You can reach me on all social network platforms. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Path, Google Talk. Also, I have a page on Facebook called Religion Means a Lot, Wadira Section. So that's the actual page out there where you can go and listen to the broadcast, because I always include the links for past shows. If you want to come directly back to Blog Talk to listen to any of my previous shows that I started, you know, I thank Imam Alfred Muhammad for finding something in me that I didn't know I had in me. You know, he reached out to me and he thought that I would be a good host for these shows, that, you know, I would bring something to it. I didn't think I had the ability to do this. You know, I was like, oh, you want me to interview? First, he interviewed me on the show, and then, you know, I started appearing on a couple shows, and then he offered me to do one show, then he offered me to do two shows, then he offered me to do three shows a week. So, you know, I took on that challenge, and alhamdulillah, that it's been a journey, and I've only been doing this. I have no formal training or anything in doing this. This is something that I picked up, but I guess he saw that in me. So I do thank him for finding that in me, which I didn't find myself. So listen to the shows directly on Blog Talk. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com. You want to do / Imam Alfred, IMAMALFRED. Once you get to the Blog Talk page, the Religion Means a Lot section, you want to go to episodes. And once you go to episodes, you will see a listing of all the past shows. My shows will have my information directly on it. I'm saying Quadira section, or, you know, just the title of various shows that I have done. So, again, I thank all my listeners for joining. I don't have a topic for Thursday just yet, inshallah. I'll come up with something. I'll come up with something if somebody doesn't, you know, give me a nudge and say, hey, can you do this on the show? I'll do it later. But, again, thank you all for joining. I appreciate all your support, all the fanfare. Just stay positive. Keep promoting the good, forbidding the evil. And on that note, assalamu alaikum. Good evening.